Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Eudaimonia Douglas.
Oh yeah, what does eudaimonia mean?
It's a contented state of being happy and healthy and prosperous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that sums you up?
Except for prosperous, but prosperous in my relationships and other non-monetary ways. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, that's it's a big question, right? Happiness.
At this very moment, I feel eudaimonia.
So you feel happy right now?
Right now.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good sign for the podcast episode. we should both be happy while we're doing it. I mean, you don't have to be, but it helps, I guess. But that's pretty much life in general, right? I mean, from moment to moment, it's a question, am I happy? Is this making me happy? And should I be asking that question to begin with? To what extent is it a false construct? To what extent can we actually plan and manipulate our environment and our life in such a way that the end result is happiness?
Right, which is why this is such a sticky topic and why we haven't really, like, put our arms around it and really giving it a big old squeeze, because I mean, this is kind of a territory that gets into all sorts of variables. And as you had mentioned, happiness is from moment to moment. So to say, are you happy? Do you want to be happy? Is sort of like, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 minutes, in a day, in a year, I want all of that for me. And then to even try to figure out what happiness is a whole sort of Pandora's box of philosophies and pitfalls.
Yeah, like when anyone asks you, does X make you happy? And unless X is something that's tied to a very in-the-moment experience, such as, say, does sugar make you happy? You know, you can say, well, yes, sugar makes me happy in a very short-term sense. But otherwise, it, you know, does any kind of artistic endeavor that you busy yourself with, does that make you happy? Well, yes, there are moments that it probably makes you really happy. There are moments where it will frustrate you. There are moments where it will bleed into other areas of happiness or frustration in your life. It's so dependent on so many different things, and it's such a subjective experience.
Right, subjective and ephemeral, right? Mm-hmm. It's a fleeting feeling most times. And you had mentioned this whole thing of, like, even asking the question about happiness, what is it, am I happy?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of takes you outside of the experience of being happy.
Yeah.
And it's sort of one of those things that you start to take it apart. Can you put it back together again? You know, does it make us unhappy to even try to figure out what this eudaimonia is?
Well, you end up having to step outside of the human experience itself, because then you start realizing that as humans, we are ephemeral. As humans, we're not one thing from one second to the next. Mm-hmm. We're this weird kind of odd-shaped snake that's draped across the timeline.
With all these weird unconscious things going on that we can't always pin down. And right, there's just so many different states affecting this. So one of the things you mentioned, you said, if X makes me happy, mm-hmm. that made me think about this equation that we're going to talk about, this happiness equation, which might sound a little reductive, and maybe it is, and we'll get to it. But we really wanted to use this as our sort of entree into the topic.
Yeah.
Because we could go on, and we may, into this topic for episodes and episodes and episodes. But this at least gives us a place to start at, to yeah. figure out, you know, happiness in this transient state and what it means to us.
Because indeed, there constantly are studies coming out dealing with happiness and the human reach for happiness. And we've been trying to figure out what happiness is for a very long time. So, it's a deep topic. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how our thinking about happiness has changed. And then we're going to talk about this supposed happiness equation, which is, when we get to it, you'll see it's a little more complicated than it sounds.
Yeah, there's no X plus Y equals Z.
Yeah.
There are many more variables. But let's start with Aristotle, because he described happiness as an experience of the good life through virtuous action.
Okay, so this is the idea. You spend your time doing things that are good, that are virtuous, that benefit humanity in some way, you're gonna feel good about that. You're gonna feel this positive feeling in your life.
Yes, by being disciplined, by being virtuous. Mm-hmm. Yes, the byproduct is a sort of glow of happiness that you're, you know, a good person out there doing good things.
Okay, and I can see where certainly later you can end up interpreting this by really drawing in more religious ideas of virtue as well, but. But, you know, on the surface, this is a definition that seems to ring true. When you're helping others, when you're doing good things of that nature, you do feel a certain a bit of happiness, this kind of you know, contentment. You know, you don't feel like you're wasting your time.
Yeah, there's a sort of purpose in life, right?
Yeah.
And now you can sort of turn the dial a couple of degrees, and you can see that you can go from being happy mm-hmm. to feeling happy. Which then kind of makes you change this perception of happiness as this pursuit, this thing that you have to have, and a kind of pleasure that you want over and over again. In fact, we know that dopamine is released when we're feeling really happy. So you can kind of even tie that to a sort of addiction to happiness. And I'm talking about hedonism.
Yes, we're talking about, of course, the hedonistic view of life, the idea that life is all about seeking pleasure, and you're just jumping from one pleasure to the next, and that is part and partial to the human experience itself, and anything else you're telling yourself is just a lie.
So that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, that's one way to look at
it. Yeah. Another, and you kind of already touched on this, is happiness can be associated with a state of flow. And we've talked about this before, that when you're really engaged in an activity or just even thinking about something, it's pleasurable because you lose yourself inside of it and time sort of suspends itself.
Yeah, we've talked about the default mode network before, you know, that voice in your head that's constantly tied into anxieties about past and future. And then when you can shut that down, you know, by meditation, by, who knows, medication, but also by just simply becoming the act that you're involved in, mm-hmm. be that act hoeing the yard or writing a poem or doing your job at work.
Or origami, and we're going to talk about
that origami,
actually,
yeah.
in our next episode. But according to Megan Keener, writing for the Huffington Post, neuroscientist and Buddhist monk Mathau Rickard teaches that durable happiness as a way of life requires training the mind and developing qualities like inner peace, mindfulness, and altruistic love. And she goes on to say the Dalai Lama agrees, describing happiness as a skill requiring effort and time to develop an understanding of the true nature of reality.
Yeah.
And in a way, you kind of get back to Aristotle here, this byproduct of doing right by yourself, of doing good in the world, of trying to come to the act in a very mindful way.
Yeah, and the little bit there from the Dalai Lama about understanding the true nature of reality, I kind of enjoy taking that notion to a certain degree outside of the Buddhist construct there and think about, you know, just sort of having a good understanding, a good base understanding of how the brain is working, how the mind is working, and knowing, you know, how we're going to inevitably go from this happy moment to a next with dips in between, and that there's a topography to our emotional state in life. Like, just knowing that there is a topography and realizing that there are going to be ups and downs, I feel like that is an important part of at least trying to maintain some sort of happiness in your life.
Yeah, I kind of equate it with the ferret of the mind looking for everything that's shiny.
Yeah.
You know, and just bouncing from one thing to another.
Yeah, and just knowing that there's a ferret is
yes.
kind of half the battle.
Right.
I mean, if you can become aware of this this state of mind, then you can actually take some steps to deal with it.
Yeah, and if you can say, stop, that's fool's gold.
Yes.
That's not the real thing. Then maybe you can back up for a second and kind of get back into yourself and back into that present moment. Now, when did we humans really think that happiness was worth pursuing in earnest? Because this hasn't always been the aim of humanity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just in the Western tradition, you look back at certainly like Protestant thinking and to a certain degree Catholic views of life, where you really get into this idea of this physical world as being a world of suffering, and it's all about just enduring what the world is throwing at you, and you got to keep your eyes on the prize, and that being some form of happiness in the afterlife. If you can even call it happiness, you could even, I guess, at base call it liberation, to get a little Buddhist-y on it. But life sucks, and your only possibility out of the suck is to follow the rules and make it out in the next life.
Right. There's the original sin, the idea of that, and everybody's going to suffer for that in this lifetime.
Right.
But when you get out, maybe not so much. So according to Peter Stearns, writing for the Harvard Business Review, this idea changed in the 18th century. And he said, the fact is that the commitment to happiness in Western culture is relatively modern. Until the 18th century, if anything, you had that saddened approach to life. And so he says what changed is you had the Enlightenment. And we've talked about this before. The Enlightenment not only just brought in this new circulation of ideas, but coffee houses, which helped to circulate and really pump up everybody's energy to communicate those ideas, like little virus, these little memes that began to distribute among everybody. And so then you had these ideas of, well, hey, maybe, you know, the original sin and suffering, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe God wants us to be happy.
He gave us coffee, right? So
he gave us coffee and all this energy, and I have all these thoughts and ideas, and I want to talk about them. Maybe God really wants us to be, you know, cheerful. That's the idea there. And in addition to that, Stearns says that there were advances in human comfort for the middle classes. This is really key. And he's saying that there was better home heating. I mean, imagine being chilled throughout the night and how angry and depressed you might be the next day. It's these little things that he says sort of move the needle for people to get into a position where they can begin to consider happiness. In other words, they were in this really nice, comfortable position. And he even says that improved dentistry might have encouraged people to smile more. And you know, we've talked about this before, just smiling, the act of it, will communicate to your brain that you're happy.
Yeah.
So even if that state, you know, right before that you were kind of feeling funky, or in a funk, I should say, and then just the act of your lips curling up can tell your brain, hey, you're smiling.
Huh. You know, and this, of course, flows into the theory that the Mona Lisa, for instance, might have had that unique smile because she doesn't want to show her teeth. And it's an interesting theory. But the thing is,
it's kind of disappointing, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, she's neither smiling or grimacing. She's just doesn't want to show her teeth.
Yeah. But you know what? I think we've all seen very genuine smiles on the part of people with imperfect to bad teeth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, like, there's nothing better because you know that's a genuine smile. Like, it's a smile where the happiness of the moment supersedes any concerns about physical health or just basic appearance.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we kind of take dentistry for granted now, but think back to the 18th century, and this would be a clear marker of those who maybe had access to money in mm-hmm. dentistry and those who did not. So all of a sudden, to be able to have things in your mouth fixed, you know, maybe yeah. not have that roan tooth or whatever it is, that might say, ah, oh, look at me. I've got access to wealth, and I'm going to smile about it all day.
All right, so we eventually get into this idea, in large part, especially in the United States, so due to the Declaration of Independence and Thomas Jefferson's pen, that everyone has the right to life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the Declaration of Independence does not provide additional details on exactly what happiness means and or how to obtain it, but we're told, oh, well, you have a right to pursue it. So what are we to make of that? Like, where does that even come from? That's a question that scholars have actually looked at quite a bit.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Well, Thomas Jefferson, as we know, was really very well read in many different areas. And as Josh Clark points out in his article about this, Jefferson was very interested in philosopher John Locke's ideas. Mm-hmm. And Locke had originally posited the idea that a person's right to live a healthy life, free to amass and maintain property, or life, health, liberty, and property, was sort of the bedrock on which Jefferson began to build his own philosophy for what the United States might want to pursue for itself. So we're not quite sure how happiness came to be in his final wording in the Declaration of Independence, but we do know that this idea of health and wellness, well-being, might have informed this idea of happiness.
Yeah, again, it's such a subjective thing that really, if you try and really dissect it too much, you just start running into dead ends. I mean, especially when you think about the fact that the American dream, as it was back then, also entails being able to come to a new place and practice some sort of dreary take on Protestant theology. Again, where life is not about happiness,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that belief is in a sense your own sort of happiness. So it gets complicated.
It does. And then it's interesting to see Thomas Jefferson and others during this period really bringing in these other ideas of what life is. So
yeah.
Obviously in the United States, there's a comfort level that has been reached in which Jefferson and others can begin to ponder what it means to be this human in this society and what to expect. And I think that's the fascinating thing, is that turn from health and wealth being eking into this idea of happiness, and that should be accessible for people.
Some people, anyway.
You know, technology makes a lot of things easier, like using the post office. With Stamps.com, you can do everything that you do at the post office right from your computer. Best of all, it's super easy. You don't need to be a tech expert. With Stamps.com, all you need is your computer and printer to buy official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. And Stamps.com provides all of the expertise. They'll send a digital scale, automatically calculating exact postage. And Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Then all you have to do is print the postage, hand it to your mail carrier, and poof, you're done. Plus, Stamps.com makes it easy to print postage from popular business software like QuickBooks, Outlook, and more. We use Stamps.com, so you can too. Nope. We use Stamps.com, and so can you. Right now, you can use our promo code STUFF, S-T-U-F-F, for this special offer. We're talking about a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. So do not wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in STUFF. That's Stamps.com. Enter STUFF.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about happiness, and we're going to talk a little bit about something called the Happiness Industrial Complex, or something dubbed the Happiness Industrial Complex. And for an example of this, you just need to look at pretty much anything in your surrounding world. Turn on the television, turn on the radio, listen to a podcast, drive down the street.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, and according to Caroline Gregor, a features editor at Huffington Post, a Google search for happiness yields 75 million results and nearly 40,000 books on the topic. Now, sitting atop this heap of books mm-hmm. is Gretchen Rubin's happiness book, or The Happiness Project. I'm sure a lot of listeners have probably seen this around. And Gretchen Rubin, she was very interested in trying to figure out what made her happy. And she began to sort of live this life of how she could achieve. It's sort of like the Six Sigma Jack Donaghy, like, I'm going to attack happiness and it's going to be in, you know, all these different areas of my life. And she lived it for like a year and then and wrote about the successes and the failures of that, as well as some of the studies and the science behind it. But she says that she thinks that the reason why there is this happiness industrial complex is because we live in a time of incredible prosperity, not, of course, globally, but in the West. This is probably one of the most prosperous times in history. And so hearkening back to that idea that when you reach a certain comfort level, you begin to really become more introspective and figure out how to move that needle on your own happiness.
Yeah, and then the media that you consume, the examples of life that you see around you, those kind of become the sort of baseline happiness that you feel on some level you should be able to achieve.
Yeah.
So you have this example of what your home should be, what your family should be, what your clothing should be, what your nose should be, I don't know. And that becomes the model. That becomes something that you strive for. And there's no end of people that want to sell you something that will help you reach that point where you have that house, where you have that nose, where you have that outfit, where you have whatever version of happiness you're having to pull out of the media ether all around you.
Which kind of gets you into this terrible place where you think that there's a standard of happiness that you must fulfill for yourself, even though no one can really define that for the community at large. It has to be defined individually. And so I think that's what's fueling this industry. People just saying, "How? If I just buy this book, if I just do this one thing, then I'll be happy." Which, again, it's not a one size fits all. And it's taken hold, I think, of people's imagination so much so that there is a $145 million Pentagon sort of happiness program that was put into place in his PBS opinion piece, The Tyranny of Happiness. Joshua Faust writes that Martin Seligman helped to create this program to teach optimistic thinking to veterans returning from wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's a kind of resilience training that was also put into place for other soldiers, not just veterans. And so on the one hand, you have detractors who say it's super reductive. It's almost like mind control, and it's also possibly not dealing with the concerns of veterans who have really had some very traumatic experiences returning from war.
But on the other hand, I mean, as reductionist as it may seem to just sort of have this, hey, fight the horror with happiness kind of vibe, I mean, at least they're giving them some tools to work with, something to cling on to if you feel yourself drifting off into the deep end of trauma and post-traumatic stress.
Right. It's a step in the right direction for mental health, right? And to even addressing the fact that there are issues that a lot of people are dealing with when they're at war. But the other sort of murky thing about this is that Seligman is very much associated with torture tactics and techniques, and he's kind of actually got the corner on that. So here you have this guy who has worked with the government in torture techniques, but is also on the flip side trying to help soldiers with positive thinking. And it's very interesting, I should say, just if not controversial.
I mean, you could argue that he's very qualified for this since he is familiar with the opposite end of the spectrum. But yeah, I don't know. It's still, maybe it's just a simple matter of anytime you have something that's referred to as the Pentagon Happiness Program, it's going to ring a little hollow.
I think that's an informal take on it. I'm not sure if that's what they actually, I know they refer to it as positive psychology, but you're right. It is interesting. Like, this is the guy who knows how to break an individual. So maybe this is the guy who knows how to fix an individual. So there's the interesting duality.
Of course, you can make there's the whole argument that those are the two movements you can take in life, either destroying and creating. And just because you can tear a car apart doesn't mean you can rebuild it. So I don't know.
Indeed. I feel like this is fertile ground for another episode to even talk about this. So we should talk about the mathematical happiness that we referred to in the introduction, this idea that those moment-to-moment states of our mind might be able to be tracked and even predicted in terms of how content we feel.
Yeah, and of course, this follows logically based on any number of studies we've discussed on this podcast, right? We can always use an fMRI. We can look and see how blood is flowing through the brain, and based on what associations are made with different parts of the brain and different parts of the brain mm-hmm. in connection with each other, then we can compare the brain scans, the fMRI results, to what kind of stimuli is involved, what you're asking the test subjects to think about, and you can start forming theories about how to fill in that X and that Y in various equations regarding human behavior.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this in terms of how we always say that the brain is this pattern-seeking machine. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Rob Rutledge from the University of College London, who conducted the study, said the brain is trying to figure out what you should be doing in the world to get rewards. So all the decisions, expectations, and outcomes are information it's using to make sure you make good decisions in the future. All of the recent expectations and rewards combine to determine your current state of happiness. And what's interesting about that is I don't think that people really thought about happiness in that context before, of like, oh, that's just my brain trying to predict what's going on and what it should expect. You know, we tend to think of happiness coming more from the inside as opposed to external conditions.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So this brings us to the so-called happiness equation, which if you look at it, and I'll try to include a link to it or an image of it on the podcast page associated with this episode, you'll see that it again is not an X plus Y equals whatever. It is a long equation with several different variables, different levels. Like if this equation were physically a house, it would have several floors. There would be different places you could hide. It's an elaborate equation.
It is.
Yeah. But it is an equation nonetheless. So it's an attempt to mathematically understand this thing. And in this case, the individuals trying to mathematically understand the quest for happiness were researchers at University College London. So what they did is they analyzed the results of 26 people doing a task in which, over repeated trials, they were asked to choose between definite and risky monetary rewards. So we're talking basically the idea of, do you stand to gain any kind of small monetary reward mm-hmm. on this particular risk? Are there $0 involved? Is there $1, $2 involved? That sort of thing.
And what's your expectation?
Yes.
As opposed to what really happened when you were playing the game?
Yeah. And so through these trials, they're asked to report their level of happiness following the result. And of course, the participants' brains were also scanned using an fMRI. So looking at the brain scans, looking again at how blood is flowing through the noggin mm-hmm. During all of this, they noticed activity in two areas of the brain correlated positively with happiness scores. These were the ventral striatum. This is the main source of dopamine neurons, and the insula, an area of the brain that is associated with several emotions, but especially happiness.
So, yeah, let's say that a player made a decision. And she thought, okay, she wasn't sure what her reward would be monetarily, but she expected maybe $0 or $1. Mm-hmm. But let's say her reward was not the full $6, but $4. Hey, that was better than what she expected. Cause she thought that on the lower end of the spectrum, she'd get zero or $1. So you see that activity in the brain spiking. So what they did is they took all of that information. And then they had a second part of the study in which they developed that equation based on all of those reactions and the way the brain was behaving. And they applied it to 18,000 people playing a game that was very similar to what the volunteers were doing. So we're talking about a decision-making task game. It's a smartphone game. And the results were as the model had predicted. When players expected a reward, they were less happy to receive it than if they hadn't expected anything at all.
Okay. So it all comes down to expectations and how appropriately low or high those expectations might be.
Yeah, which is kind of, it's a little bit of a duh moment, but at the same time, it challenges our perception of how happiness sort of happens inside of us. So it doesn't depend on really how things are going, but on our perception of how they will go or how they should go.
Yeah, I feel like an area of my life where I see this in play the most is when I see a movie, when I go to check out a film, right? Because you're coming into any given film with varying levels of information regarding its quality and how much you are supposedly going to like it. So uh-huh. You have a certain expectation set for it. Maybe so everyone's saying this is the big summer thrill ride. This is the best movie of the year. This won an Oscar. This is the film that all your friends are talking about. So you go into it perhaps thinking, well, I will certainly love it. It will be the greatest thing ever. Or you go into a film that everyone has dumped on and then it's better than you expected. So based on your expectations, you know, I find myself thinking at times, well, was this film really that bad, or was I just, or my expectations were just way too high for it? And then likewise, I'll see something and I'll really enjoy it, and then I'll think, well, maybe that's just because I was really expecting nothing out of it, and it did have some nuggets of gold hidden in there with the poop.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah, and Rutledge says, he even says, like, this isn't the way to pursue happiness, by the way, because we're talking about moment to moment. Mm-hmm. And he said, in contrast to this, you could actually even be thinking about, say, an upcoming vacation. Mm-hmm. And imagine yourself learning to surf, or if that's something you really think you're going to do.
Okay.
And you're committed to that. And have pleasure from that, just from imagining yourself being on vacation and doing things. So you can have expectations, he says. But the trick moment to moment in your life is to try to, I guess you could say, lower your expectations to the reality of the situation.
Okay.
In order to not be disappointed, right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You can set out, you can fantasize, essentially, about learning to surf on that vacation.
Yeah.
But don't be upset when it rains every day and you just end up playing Scrabble in the beach house.
Yeah, just the thought of being on vacation, having those thoughts, and yeah, maybe even being like, maybe this is the key, fantasizing about surfing, but also saying, oh, but won't it be beautiful if it rains and I'll be playing Scrabble. So
fantasize about
in.
Surfing, settle for Scrabble. That can be our new bumper sticker happiness equation that everybody can use.
We can put that in our Stuff to Blow Your Mind store, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Scrabble can license it and use it on all their products.
There you go. Rutledge also says that this is only a measurement for immediate reward. He says that it doesn't deal with long-term satisfaction. And in fact, when you look at all these short-term spikes and dips and you account for them, people still have a baseline happiness point. And they tend to follow that over the course of a lifetime. And perhaps that's more dominated by your philosophy of life.
Yeah. And also by the icons and the role models you look up for, too. I mean, those become the models of what you want to achieve, be that, you know, you're one of your own parental units or some celebrity or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you end up kind of shackled to that model to some degree.
And you are shackled to whatever your circumstances are at that very moment, mm-hmm. the circumstances that you can't maybe change. So I'm thinking health is one of them. And this certainly doesn't even begin to touch on depression. So
yeah,
again,
that's
not
a whole
to be
different subject entirely.
Reductionist at all. But these are just, you know, this happiness equation is interesting to look at the happiness paradigm and try to figure out what's going on there in the femoral states.
So if we're to take something away from this, and again, you can't really take away a quick, easy, rocket ride to happiness, but essentially aim for the stars, but settle for the moon kind of a situation.
Yeah.
But even that is more complicated than it sounds. Like if you start dissecting the bumper sticker, simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. Like, how do you aim big and still find yourself satisfied with less impressive results? Like even my own life, when I think about my writing, I feel like I've gotten to the point where I have a healthy level of expectation, but I still am also at the same time, staying ambitious with what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I can really break apart how I'm maintaining that, you know, like, because they seem like two contradictory feelings.
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things, especially with fiction, is you do have that expectation. I'm going to write the great American novel and I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
And that never happens, right? Because that novel turns out into something entirely different than what you expected. So I think when you come to the experience of flow, in this case, happiness, that you have to be willing to fail a lot or a little,
yeah,
in order to reach some sort of stasis of happiness, right? Because it's just in the effort of trying to do that and then square your expectations with whatever comes out on the other side.
Yeah.
Again, writing requires that sort of like Zen monk-like mind, which makes it, I think, very difficult. Although not for Joyce Carol Oates.
Oh, yeah. She finds it easy?
She's prolific, and I think it's because it's like a muscle for her.
Yeah.
She has written so much, and she does it almost automatically when she comes to the table, because that is what she does, you know, every single day. that, you know, I think that you sort of maybe when you're doing it that much, you put away those fears or those thoughts that allow you to get to that page.
Bottom line, though, expectations seem to play a major role in the pursuit of immediate happiness.
So shoot for the moon.
Yes. Well, no, shoot for the stars.
I know.
Or if you shoot for the moon, shoot for the moon is fine, but settle for low Earth orbit.
There you go. Yeah. That's our bumper sticker.
Yes.
All right, guys. You know you can find us in other places, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're available all over, but especially at stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's the mothership. That is where you will find all of our podcast episodes streaming for your pleasure. You will find all of our videos. You'll find our blogs, as well as links out to various social media accounts that we frequent.
And if you have any thoughts on happiness, any sad thoughts on happiness, particularly, please do share them with us. We would love to hear from you guys. And you can do that by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.